In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare unto you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We sing our opening hymn, Hark the Glad Sound. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Then we pray. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. comfort and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen. You may be seated, and I ask that the children come forward at this time.
All right. I'm glad you're here this morning. Did you have a good Thanksgiving? Eat too much? No? I did. Okay, all right. Well, I did too. Well, it just seems like Thanksgiving just got here and now it's gone, but now there's something else coming. What is that? Christmas is coming, right? And so things have kind of changed around here a little bit, haven't they? Have you noticed any? What's that? The different colors up there on the altar, isn't it? The pyramids have changed, right? And what else has changed? What else is here? Kind of sitting right next to it. Have you noticed it? Turn around. What's that right there? Oh, that's our Advent wreath. They have that last year, right? And we bring it out every year, pretty much almost after Thanksgiving, not always, but pretty much the Sunday after Thanksgiving, a different season of the church starts. And this one is Advent, and it kicks off the beginning of our church year. But we talk about this, and we talk about the candles and everything, but have we ever heard the story of how this all started? Well, it goes all the way back to the 1800s, where a pastor by the name of Johann Wickern was teaching classes in his church. Back in those days, back in the 1800s, which was where he was living, the pastor sometime actually had to teach because the schools were sometimes in the church. And he was noticing that as right after Thanksgiving, the kids started asking questions. How long is it till Christmas? Oh, we're getting so excited, and it got to be harder to teach because they were so excited. What are we? You know, when is Christmas? Every day he'd get that question. When is Christmas? It's kind of like when you're traveling. Are we there yet? Really? You did that all the way to Florida? I bet. Oh boy, I bet that was fun with the driver. But how did it? Then this pastor was going, well, there's got to be a way to help the kids remember the trip to Christmas. So he got to thinking, what am I going to do? Well, let's see. Back in the 1800s, they didn't have cars to get places, did they? So he's going, what am I going to use? I'm going to use something that not only helps us get there, but I want it to mean something. I want it to start the story about Jesus. So he said, the one thing I know that I can use. If they didn't have cars, what do you think they had? Horses and donkeys. But what would take you from place to place? Wagons and carts. And he said, well, I've got plenty of those laying around. So I wonder if I take that cartwheel, I could use it to help them learn how to get ready for Christmas. Because carts take you on a journey, don't they? They start the journey, and they take you to the end of the journey. So he said, well, that would be perfect. It would help us remember that Advent is a journey from one place to another, from the beginning to the end. But the other thing the cartwheel reminds you of is if you're going on a journey, it reminds you to get ready. To get everything ready, right? So that would be perfect for me. It reminds us that we're going on a journey to Christmas, but that we need to get ready for it. But there was more. He said, look at that round. That reminds me of the world. That reminds me that Jesus is coming not just for us, but for the whole world. And also that it's the start of a journey, but the journey doesn't end. Because it keeps going round and round and round. Because Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming to promise us not only life here, but life with him. So he took that wheel, and he set it on a stand. Or he hung it from the ceiling. And that was the beginning of the Advent wreath. But that's not the end. There's more to it. And you have to come back next week for that. Okay? But are you ready to begin the journey? Then I guess it's time for us to light our first candle. And do we want to sing our song?
Yeah.
Let's sing our song. The beginning of the journey. But guess what? It's just the beginning for us. I'm going to give you some things. Each week, we're going to build an Advent wreath. This week, guess what you're going to get? Our acolytes hold it right there. You're going to get a wheel. And then you come back next week, and you'll see what you get to add to it. And the week after that, and see what you get to add to it. And maybe the week after that, right before Christmas, we'll find out something else. So each week you'll get to have something. So let's close with a prayer, and then our acolytes will hand out the wheels to you as you go back, okay? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for coming, and thank you for the opportunity to begin the journey to come to the manger and see you as the Christ child. Help us to prepare for the journey, to get ready for the journey, and to go on the journey, preparing our hearts to receive that very special gift. Amen. You may go get your wheels. Thank you for coming. Come back next week and see what we add to it.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray together the prayer of the day. Stir up your power, O Lord, and come. Protect us by your strength and save us from the threatening dangers of our sins. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Our first lesson comes from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 33, beginning at verse 14. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which it will be called: The Lord is our righteousness. The word of the Lord. We'll read responsively by whole verse, Psalm 25. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. My God, I put my trust in you. Let me not be humiliated, nor let my enemies triumph over me. Show me your ways, O Lord, and teach me your paths. Remember, O Lord, your compassion and love, for they are from everlasting. Gracious and upright is the Lord, therefore he teaches sinners in his way. All the paths of the Lord are love and faithfulness to those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. The second lesson comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, beginning at verse 9. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy that we feel before our God because of you. Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you face to face and restore whatever is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, just as we abound in love for you. And may he so strengthen your hearts in holiness that you may be blameless before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 21st chapter. Jesus said, "There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, stand up, raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." Then he told them a parable. "Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourself and know that summer's already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard, so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and worries of this life, and that day does not catch you unexpectedly, like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Sometimes I wonder what kind of world this is that we live in. I hope all of you had a good Thanksgiving holiday, maybe surrounded by family or friends and had good food. I know I had a good holiday. My family came here to Yorktown this time and I hosted, and we had wonderful food and got to visit with people that I hadn't seen for a while and catch up with stories and laughed a little bit, so it was a good day. It can be good, but then at a lot of other times, there's always something going on that makes us worried or makes us anxious. Maybe it's stress about money. You're worried about your financial situation that you are in. Or maybe you worry about somebody else, a good friend or a relative, someone close to you is not doing well. Or maybe it's a family member who seems to be headed towards the wrong direction and you're worried about them. You're anxious that something's going to happen to them. Or maybe you had a fight with somebody that you loved and they just don't feel right because you don't have that connectedness anymore. And it needs to be restored. People go through divorce. People have bad news about their own health. People suffer. And then we die. A lot in this world to be anxious about, to worry about. And it always has the stress and the anxieties about us. And so we come to church. We come to worship to hear good news, to hear that to hear some consolation, to take our minds off of these, these dreadful things that are happening within our lives to cause so much anxiety and worry. And then we read a text like this. There will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, and on earth distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. It doesn't seem to give us a whole lot of comfort. And anxiety will tear us apart if we don't do something about it. And people have tried to deal with anxiety and stress in so many different ways. Some people turn to alcohol or to misuse of drugs. Other people lash out at what either causes them to be so upset or they lash out at anybody and everything. Other people just try to hide. They go find a place. Maybe they can escape from all of it. Maybe they can just leave and leave all the troubles behind. Or other people try to hide or simply just deny that anything else is going on. There's thousands of self-help books out there to try to fix yourself or fix the world or fix whatever needs fixing to relieve that anxiety. Other people just get angry at God and they quit. Other people go to different religions. Some people are turned to even things like superstition. There was a superstitious bus driver. He drove a tour bus. And so he was driving a bus full of tourists down a scenic road, pointing out the sights to see on that trip, when all of a sudden, a black cat went streaking across the highway in front of his bus. And that upset the bus driver. That's supposed to be bad luck. He's superstitious, and it upset him. And so he told everybody on the bus, "All right, everybody turn to your left and spit over your left shoulder, because that will keep us from having bad luck." And so in the midst of the confusion of everybody trying to spit and not hit somebody else, and other people being upset because they have been hit, in all that confusion, the bus driver lost control of the bus, and it flipped onto its side. Well, nobody was seriously hurt, but they were banged up and bruised a bit, and the bus driver kind of crawled out from where he was, untangled himself, and stood up and said angrily, "Okay, who didn't spit?" We get so anxious, we get worked up, and the things that we try to do just don't cover that. And here, you know, in our gospel lesson too, it just seems to ratchet that up, that whole anxiety, that whole issue about the world coming apart and wars and the sun and signs and the sun and the moon and the sea roaring and all these things going on to instill fear into us. But actually, there's good news here. If you read on just a little further then in verse 28, he says, "Now when these things begin to take place, stand up, raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." The Son of Man is coming back. The Son of Man is coming back to redeem us, to save us, to pull us out of this mess. Here in this gospel lesson is that good news, that Christ is coming again. And he will pull us out of all these things that cause us anxiety, all these things that cause us worry, all these things that cause us pain and fear. Christ is coming back. And we don't need to fear all these things. We don't need to worry about everything that's going on. I like to kind of think of it this way. There are people stranded on a deserted island. You're one of those people. Some of those people you knew before you got deserted. Other people you don't know. There's people on that island that are very helpful. They try to organize groups to go find food, try to put shelter together. And then there's other people on that island that don't want to cooperate, that they want to boss everybody else around. Or there's other people on the island who just simply want to hoard all of the resources. They want to take away from other people. And people are stressed out. Where are we going to eat? What are we going to eat? Where are we going to sleep?
How are we going to live on this island? Will anybody come to rescue us? There's anxiety, but at the same time, people start to work together. Some of those people you never knew before, you find out they're wonderful people. They're helpful people. They have good ideas. They're willing to work. And then you also learn that even some of those that you knew before, you see finally their inner nature, and they don't want to do anything. Or that some people who are just so full of fear, they're paralyzed of what's going to happen. They don't know what the future holds. And so some people then write SOS in the beach sand, or they light fires with lots of smoke so that maybe it'll attract a ship or an airplane. But one day an airplane does fly over. And then it circles around and it comes lower. And it sees the people waving their arms out there on the beach and hollering. And they see the big SOS and they see the smoky fires. And they circle around once again and they drop a message that says, "We see you. We've been looking for you. You have been found. We are going to be sending a ship to rescue you because there's no room on the plane. And that there's no room for the plane to land." So what's changed? What's changed for the people on that island? It's still the same people there. It's still the same amount of food. It's still the same resources for shelter. The weather is the same. What has changed? It's that they have heard that they will be rescued. That this is just simply temporary. This island that they're deserted on is just simply temporary. They will be rescued. Help is on the way. They don't know when that help's going to come. It may come in just a few hours. They look and they don't see a ship on the horizon, but they know it takes time to locate and make coordinations and all those kind of things. It may come in a few hours. It may come in a few days. It may come in a week or so. But help is coming. Help is coming. And I look at that of where we sit in our lives today. Yes, we have wonderful times where we're able to get together with family and friends, or we have wonderful surprises. We meet new people, and we find out what pleasant people they are. But then there's also those other people that just grate on us, or that cause trouble, or the disasters in this world, or health issues that crop up, or the disagreements. All these things that cause us worry and anxiety still exist for us. Even as Christians, they still exist for us. But what's different? What's different for Christians? With Christians, we have gotten that message. Help is on its way. Christ is coming. He will come and He will redeem us. He will come and rescue us. He will come and save us. This where we live is only temporary. The best life is still yet to come. And we are also urged then to watch and to wait for that time, to prepare for that time when Christ is coming. Here in verse 34 it says, "Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life." Christ will come again. Christ will be here. Christ is coming as our Redeemer. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We sing the hymn for the day, "Rejoice, Rejoice, Believers."
Rejoice, rejoice, believers, and let your light shine.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. For the church, the world, for one another, and for the sake of all people, let us pray to the Lord. Gracious God, prepare our hearts in this Advent season for the coming of Christ among us, as the babe of Bethlehem, veiled in human flesh, as the head of the church, veiled in word and water, bread and wine, and as the Lord and Savior, Redeemer and King of the universe, veiled in light and love and life, who fulfills your ancient promises and our eternal heart's desire. Lord, in your mercy, fill your church with your Holy Spirit, so it may instruct sinners in your way. Strengthen it in holiness. Give it boldness to proclaim your word that shall never pass away. Make it abound in love, especially when persecuted, so that its enemies do not exalt, but instead repent and believe in the good news. Lord, in your mercy. Surround this congregation with faith, love, mercy, generosity, and holiness, gifts more beautiful and enduring than wreaths, trees, ornaments, and lights. Turn our hearts and hands to adorn all who are hurting, bitter, frightened, and needy with these gifts. Lord, in your mercy. Teach us to live at peace with one another, to seek your will rather than our own, and to use whatever power and authority any of us has for the common good. Give wisdom, integrity, courage, and common sense to our elected and appointed leaders, and to all who risk their lives in defense of liberty, justice, safety, and peace. Lord, in your mercy. We plead on behalf of everyone who is in special need of your merciful care and glorious deliverance. Gladden their hearts, heal their bodies, uphold their spirits with your own Holy Spirit, and surround them with the love and care of all who hold them dear. We pray especially for Joan Gohmert, Carl Klein, Kermit Kaler, Catherine Glore, Lynn Magura, and we also ask that you may send rain for the parched earth. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Father, we entrust into your never-failing care our loved ones who have died. Ease the sorrow of those whose grief runs deep. Revive our spirits. Direct our days and our deeds in your peace, and make us abound in love and in every good work. And gather us with all the redeemed into your eternal kingdom, where we shall rejoice in your goodness and righteousness forever. Lord, in your mercy. For all these things, for all we lift before you in the silence of our hearts, and for everything that you know we need, we pray in the name and power of our Lord Jesus Christ and commend into your mighty and merciful hands. Amen. You may be seated as we continue with the offering. Let us pray. O mighty one, you have done great things for us, and holy is your name. Bless all we offer you, ourselves, our time, and our possessions, that through us your grace and favor may be made known to all the world. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God. Through our Savior, Jesus Christ, you comforted your people with the promises of the Redeemer, through whom you will also make all things new in the day when he comes to judge the world in righteousness. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the host of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come, for the gifts of God have been made ready for the people of God. The body of Christ given for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. Blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. And we pray that in your mercy you would strengthen us through this gift in faith towards you and in fervent love toward one another. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. Our closing hymn, Joy to the World. Go in peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And as we go in peace, we share that peace with each other. The peace of the Lord be with you.
And also with you.